started, I'm going to ask for a few volunteers. We're going to do something totally different. I want Sandy. And y'all back there are really loud, so y'all have to come out here and stand up here with me. It's the worship team. Amira? Luke? Anybody that wants to?
I want to.
Okay. And all of you stand up. All right? We're going to get a little loose today, this morning, and relax. You know what? Church is serious, but church doesn't need to be, this isn't worship. We're going to play a video. I don't need you on the guitar. Okay. I need some of you over here. Sandy. We're going to just, you know, we can be serious, but we don't have to be serious, you know? So let's have fun today, okay? Go ahead and roll that video. This is a video that our kids worship God to on Sunday mornings, amongst other ones. So turn it up. Come on. We're putting on the full armor of God. Okay, there's movements here.
First things first, got the belt of truth.
Ayo, ayo.
Put on my boots, gotta tell the good news.
Ayo, ayo.
The armor of God and the shield of faith.
Ayo, ayo.
Got my sword and my helmet, now it's time to pray.
Ayo,
put on the full armor.
Put on the full armor of God. Stand strong against the evil one. Put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God.
First things first, you got the belt of truth.
Ayo, ayo.
Put on my boots, I gotta tell the good news.
Ayo, ayo.
The armor of God and the shield of faith.
Ayo, ayo.
Got my sword and my helmet, now it's time to pray.
Ayo, ayo. Put on the full armor of God. Stand strong against the evil one. Put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. Stand strong against the evil one. Put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God.
Now in faith we can stand, stand, stand against every evil plan, plan, plan. Now it's time to be strong, strong, strong. He has won.
Put on the full armor of God. Stand strong against the evil one. Put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God. Stand strong against the evil one. Put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God.
All right. Y'all can go back to your seats. So today, we're good. We're good. Thank you for your participation. All right. Y'all feel relaxed, loose? All right. Today we're going to talk about standing firm. Okay? We're going to talk about putting on the full armor of God. I've spoken about that before, but we got to stand firm in our walk with God. So, like the song says, we can stand up against the evil one. Amen? So, what I want to say is, I'm going to share a little story here. How many of you know my son, Peyton? Anyone? Anyone? Okay. This child, I'm just going to share, hopefully, as quickly as possible. Those of you who don't, I think everybody in here knows our kids are adopted. And this child spent the first year of his life not being able to really hear properly. And I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly what he was hearing, but it had to have been pretty muffled. And so when he, just around his first birthday, we discovered that he needs tubes put in his ears. And so he had tubes put in his ears. But because of that, it has delayed his speech, how many of you have kids or have experienced, you know, having to have tubes put in your ears? So there's a delay in your hearing and your comprehension of things being spoken to you in words. And it really is challenging. Now, I don't know what that's like because I didn't experience that myself. So this child has really had to fight against some of these these issues that he's had with his hearing. And so in school, he, you know, he does well in a lot of different subjects. I mean, math, he could sit down and just sit down and do it, and he's fine. But when it comes to language arts, he struggles really bad. So to the point that after the school year last year, we were actually facing the thought of holding him back a year. And the school said to us, no, I don't think that'd be a good idea. Let him go into first grade. So we got him tutoring over the summer, and he improved, and he really has done great in comparison to some of the previous years. His behavior has been better, and it's been, you know, he's really, really made some progress. However, with the spelling and the language arts, it's still been a struggle. And so this school year has been so hard on him, but it's been hard on me. It's been hard on the teachers. Because the reason that it's been so hard for him is because he doesn't understand it. He doesn't quite comprehend it. And so what he wants to do is, instead of actually working at it, he wants to go play. You know, when we are faced with things that are hard, do we, you know, there are people that will attack the challenge head on. But I would say most of us want to go, I'm going to go watch TV for a little bit. I'm going to play a game on my phone for a little bit, because we don't want to have to deal with something that is challenging. You know, going through and pushing through to get some results, right? So this child of mine, I mean, we have worked hard, and I know sometimes his teachers don't think we're working with him at all, but I promise, it's like we have been. And so this last week, him and I worked really, really hard. And I'm telling you, teachers will say, you know, this is what you need to do. Well, when he gets home, what you think is going to work for him doesn't work for him. So I have to kind of find a way that's going to work for him. And so I've been trying to, you know, find different avenues of what's going to get his attention and get him interested enough to keep his attention and get this work done. So anyway, so this week I can't even tell you exactly what happened, but I think I just communicated in the way, okay, I'm with you on this. Let's do this together. And he must have just taken that and really trusted me on that. And so I was like, instead of expecting too much out of him, I gave him hints and really helped him out. And so by Thursday night, and Fridays are generally their spelling test, by Thursday night, he knew these words. And I mean, you know, for him to sit down and I just say the word and he starts writing it out or spelling it for me without me really prompting him is like I shed a tear because of joy, you know. When there's a little bit of progress for me, it is a celebration. And so I celebrate that in him. And so whether he did well on his test or not, I still don't know, but the point was I could actually get this kid to sit down and actually spell these words. And what that said to me was, again, I'll go back to the progress. When we make progress, it may be that we're standing here on this line, we're trying to get over to the other line. Well, that doesn't look like a big step, right? But if that line is a giant in our life, it looks like there's no way I'm going to be able to conquer that. But if we just take one little step at a time, there's some kind of progress that we're making. And I think we have to celebrate that progress. And so in our children, we do that. Now, how do we make progress? How do we learn things in order to get past challenges? Well, sometimes we need to have repetition happen in our life, right? Things that are repeated over and over and over. Now, as a parent, and maybe you can remember as a child, your parent saying something to you over and over and over and over and over and over. And to the point, my kids already say, I heard you. I'm like, but you're not doing it. You know, it's like, I know. I hate hearing my own voice repeat things. Like, it's just so annoying. And we think that if we repeat ourselves 10,000 times that we're going to see the result that we are wanting to see, right? And sometimes it happens and it's wonderful, and other times it doesn't. But I look at that and realize God's like that too. Now, I know that I have gotten up and I probably have shared the same scriptures every time I speak. There are scriptures that stand out to me and I just can't get away from them. And the Lord won't let me get away from them, and there's a reason for that. We have to get things inside of us so much that it doesn't take anything for us to get it. And if you look in God's word, it's obvious God is our Father. You know, we have a tendency to repeat ourselves to our children because we want to see them succeed, and God is the same way. He wants to see his children succeed and be happy and live a life that's fulfilled and live a life that is easier than it could be. I know that's a big, long statement, but I felt like putting it up there. So in his word, he tends to repeat himself. Have you ever opened up the Old Testament specifically and read certain scriptures about the building of the temple or any sacred place that is being built? Anybody read the specifics of that where things are repeated? And I know I'm not going to get these terms right, but, you know, like use 10/12 of an ephah to build this, or, you know, just different things, or 10/18 of, you know, that's how I of an inch, and, you know, just to put this pole here. I know there's biblical terminology on that, but they use the God uses, or in the Old Testament, there are certain size requirements that go into building the temple. There are certain pieces that are so different. There's all these different things that have to go into the building of the temple or into a building of some kind of sacred building. And the thing that when I'm reading, I get annoyed because I'm like, okay, let's get on with it. I mean, okay, I know that you had to have all of these pieces and in order for it to stand. And so I started, as I was preparing this message, I started thinking about, why is it that this is repeated? Why is it that God is like, because it's the people that have wrote in the Bible were, the Lord breathed these words through those people, and they wrote the word of God. And so, you know, God's requirements were all of these different little intricate parts. And so as I read and I think about that, God kind of showed me, well, you know, kind of made me question, you know, I wonder, what could it be? It could be, one point could be, that all of these little pieces represent the body of Christ. And how each one of us is so important, because if you don't have the little round peg that needs to go here, then the rest of it's not going to stand correctly. So what that's saying is, in the body of Christ, all of you, me, and other places, but let's talk specifically about our church. If we are missing one, like we are missing some people today, if we're missing that intricate little peg that a person represents, we're not fully standing up straight. Does that make sense? We are all so vital in growing the kingdom of God that we all play a part. It's not just the pastor that plays the part. It's not just the worship leader that plays the part. It's each one of you, and it's each one of those people that are not here today, and it's each one of those people that are in different churches today to build the whole body of Christ. We are called to be a light and to spread the good news of Christ to this world. And if we don't do our part, then we're not helping the building of the body. Amen? So that could be a reason for the repetition. Another reason could be that it's just a reminder, maybe to the generations upon generations, that in order to make this work correctly, you're going to need all these different little parts. So, you know, when Moses was building the temple, the people in the New Testament had the same description or the same details that Moses had in order to build the temple. So repetition, it's important to get it inside of us. There are so many other areas in the Bible that are repeated over and over again, and God is repeating himself over and over. And there are several examples of certain phrases, and one of the phrases or one of the points I want to focus on is that is a place, are several different scriptures where God's promise to be our God and we be our his people through his servant Moses and different people, there's so many scriptures that say that. So in Exodus 6:7, it says, I will take you as my people and I will be your God. You will know that I am Yahweh, your God, who delivered you from the forced labor of the Egyptians. So if you read on throughout the Old Testament, you see so many different, the same point that God is getting across. Genesis 17:7 says, I will keep my covenant between me and you and your future offspring throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant to be your God and the God of your offspring after you. Go to Leviticus 20:12. It says, I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. And then in Numbers 15:41, I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am Yahweh, your God. Then skipping into Jeremiah, I know I'm going fast. I'm sorry. Okay. I'll go slower. Do I need to go back? So first one was Genesis 17:7. And then Leviticus 26:12. And then Numbers 15:41. And then this next one I'm going to read is Jeremiah 7:23. It says, however, I did give them this command, obey me, and then I will be your God, and you will be my people. And then Ezekiel 36:28. We got it? Says, then you will live in the land that I gave your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Amen. Now, what is the resounding promise there? What is the resounding message there? That God will be their God. That's to the Israelites, but that's also a promise to us. I will be your God. I will protect you. All you have to do is obey me. I will be your God. I'll be your God. I will be there in the land. I will give you the promised land. It's what God is doing for us and giving to us as his children. The thing that I think is funny is that I think the reason God repeated himself so many times in the Old Testament was that the Israelites didn't quite get it. Because how many times did they disobey and they walked away and they were wandering. They didn't need to wander as long as they did. I think that God repeated himself so many times because they just didn't get it. So I want to talk now about the armor of God, because I believe that, you know, we have to have the repetition. We also have to know that we have the armor of God. And because we have the armor of God on us, it causes us to stand. That song said, stand, stand, stand against the evil one. So we're going to sit here in Ephesians 6 for a little bit. So if you want to take your Bibles or your phones or look on the screen, whatever you'd like. I'm going to read this first in the NIV, Ephesians 6:10 through 14. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. I'm sorry. I'm going to turn this around. You can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, what does it say? Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, I'm going to stop right there. I want to read it now in the Message translation because it's really cool. A fight to the finish. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you strong. So take everything that the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. So be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Amen. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long, and pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. I love that version. So what that saying is, know that God is strong, but in the midst of everything, you still stand. You still stand. You stand in the midst of it. You stand when it's hard. You stand when it's easy. You don't sit. So the other thing is, there's a point there that says fellowshipping, basically fellowshipping with the body of Christ and your church family strengthens you. And that's what I said. When people are not here, there is something missing. Not that we are missing something, but we're missing those people. We want them to be strengthened. So we need to surround ourselves with other people that maybe have gone through the same things that we have. We need to surround ourselves with people of like faith, same mindset when it comes to the word of God. So back to that. The word says, then stand firm. Don't sit down. Don't just collapse. I mean, I know we've all been there where we're just, you know, we're fighting something, and it might not even be super huge, but you just get tired, right? Amen. And you just want to just stop. I've had many times like that. I mean, I just want to be like, all right, I'm done. I got to go sit. I got to go to sleep. And sometimes that's an option. Other times it can't be an option. Other times we have to just keep on going. When we are tempted to give up, we got to keep on standing. And we need to realize that when we do step into the fight, there are punches that are still going to fly at us. We still have to be ready to fight the enemy. We still have to be ready to stand up against and really put something out there. But when we stand our ground and we stand firm, Paul says that we'll be able to take the sword out and wield it, which is, you know, of course, our Bible. I was going to bring a pretend sword today, and I forgot it. But we have to realize that we're not fighting these battles by ourselves. We've got somebody fighting them next to us, going before us, which leads me to my next point. Of course, we've been talking about being led by the Holy Spirit. We have to finally allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Have to do that. There's really no option here. And the way that we do that, obviously, you know, Brent's giving you pointers and tips, and hopefully you've been putting those to practice. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. When we walk in His guidance and listen for Him to lead us, no matter what it is, we don't always get an answer that we want. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't always going to say, don't worry, you can just sit down and relax and I'll take care of all it, no fighting required on your part. Sometimes that's the answer. Sometimes He does. That can be how it is. But there are a lot of times that it's not. So in following and allowing Him to lead us, we'll walk through all those challenges in our life and the situations that we face. We may have to run here. We may have to run there. We may have to fight some battles and grab our sword and put our belt on of truth. Belt, is that right? Yeah. We may have to ask Him for more strength, but He's there all the time, never leaves us, never forsakes us. Amen? His strength is perfect in our weakness, meaning when we are weak, we are also strong because of Him. I always thought that was a funny scripture. When we are weak, we are strong. What? But when we are weak and we know that we've got somebody fighting for us, and we're talking about the Holy Spirit, that makes us strong. You know? 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you for power. Power is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I will most gladly boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, catastrophes, persecutions, and in pressures because of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, when we're strong, we're working out, we're running, our legs are strong and we're able to stand. And we're able to keep on standing. We have the ability to punch back the enemy when he throws darts at us. When we are tempted, though, to give up, when things come in our path and come in our way and try to shake us, there are those temptations there that we want to just give up. But when we don't give up and we remain strong in him, it gives us more strength that no matter what, we grab that strength from above and it causes us to keep on standing. No, there's no place in the Bible says that the walk of faith is easy and the fight is easy. Or, you know, if we don't even think about it being a fight, it's just our way of life. No one says that it's just easy all the time. We get tempted on different things. But when we grab a hold of the things, you know, that we need, we grab a hold of the weapons that we need, we listen to the Holy Spirit, we follow what the Holy Spirit tells us to do and leads us to do, we can stand, and then the enemy will be defeated, and then we will win. Amen? Hallelujah. Bow your heads. I'm done. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for